Blog Talk Radio.
This ain't no ordinary world. This ain't no ordinary song, yeah. The God of sin is greater than the ordinary. So I'ma give them all I have.
Yes, praise the Lord. No ordinary worship, no ordinary praise. Come on, let's just begin to praise the Lord this evening. Come on and begin to praise God. Wherever you are, God has brought you throughout this entire day, this entire evening, right down to this very time. God has blessed you. He's opened doors for you. God has made ways, and we just give him praise. Hallelujah. Welcome to Real Talk Grown Folks Bible Study, where we rightly divide the word of truth with practical application of God's word to your everyday life. And I take your questions and comments here on air. I am Evangelist Rossi Williams, host of Daily Fire, Hot Manna for Your Soul, Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern. And then Real Talk, Grown Folks Bible Study on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern. And I welcome everyone who's tuned in online and via phone. I have a great word for you tonight. Now, just so you know, as we prepare to get started, I will be taking your questions or comments throughout the Bible study, because this is not a sermon, it's Bible study, keyword being study. So if you have questions or comments as I teach and you are tuned in via phone, press 1 on your phone and it will bring you into my queue, and I'll take your question or comment on air. You don't have to say your name. I'll just call you out by the last 4 digits of your phone number. For example, number 1234. For those of you who are tuned in online, type your question or comment. I'll read it and then answer it on air. And we will end with live prayer. I'll take your prayer request as well. All right, our topic for tonight's Bible study here on Real Talk is 5 steps to raising godly children in a godless society. 5 steps to raising godly children in our godless society. And tonight we're coming from the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Again, that's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. While you are getting your Bibles ready, let me just give you some quick information. Remember, you can always tune in with me Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern on Daily Fire. And then on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern on Real Talk by dialing in at 323-870-4180 or online from my ministry website, rossi.org. That is rawsi.org. You can also follow the podcast so you receive the recordings as well as a text reminder when we go live by texting the message DF, that's D as in daily, F as in fire, to phone number 33222. Finally, you can also give or donate to the ministry, Rossi Williams Ministries, to help spread the gospel. Because when you help spread the gospel, that means you're a soul winner as well. By going to my ministry website, rossi.org, or just sending your donation via Cash App to $Rossi Williams, R-A-W-S-I. But I am launching out into television ministry as well. We're going to win souls for Christ. And any donation you make will help because it costs thousands. By now, you should have that Bible ready. Let's go into the Word. I am in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, reading from the KJV.
This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Have you ever met anyone like this? Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Hannas and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Last few verses. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Last verse. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Come on and give God praise for the reading of his word. What is our topic tonight? Repeat it after me. 5 steps to raising godly children in a godless society. Now, when I just read unto you 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, I know surely at least one person, if not many, their images or names came into your minds as I read the descriptors of the type of people or the type of society we would encounter and live in the last days. And surely we are in that time right now. We live in a day and age wherein to be a Christian is to be offensive to everyone or almost everyone just by your very nature of claiming the name of Christ. Christians are under constant ridicule, constant pressure to conform to the world's standards, the world's morality, and the world's way of doing things. And when we choose not to do so, we are ostracized, alienated, ridiculed, sometimes even taken to court, because these are the last days of a godless society where, although God's name is still on our money, he's not truly welcome in our homes anymore. He's not welcome in our schools. He's not welcome in our neighborhoods. And in some places, he's not even welcome in our churches. Now, with you and I being adults, we can stand against this type of pressure. But for children, it is different. You see, children don't generally have the backbone that you have. They don't have the wherewithal and the fortitude that I have. Children don't have the ability to speak up and speak out and truly speak their minds as we do, because they are children. And a lot of times, children can't even withstand the peer pressure anymore. If you think about it, there are children committing suicide over the names they're called or the bullying they receive, sometimes from social media. They don't even know the people who are bullying them. But the impact of it is so grave that they will take their own lives. Sometimes when they're as young as 5, 6, 7, 9, 12 years old. So what are we to do as Christians in our ability, in our fight to enable our children? And it may not be that they're little children in your lives right now. Maybe it's your grandchildren, your nieces or nephews, your cousins. Maybe it's the children of your friends or your godchildren, children at church. What are we to do? Let's deal with these five steps. And remember, the lines are open. If you have questions, comments, put them in and I'll answer, because this is Bible study. Number one. Everyone say number one wherever you are. The lines are muted. I can't hear you. Number one, you live the life yourself. You live the life yourself. Kids model what they see. And based on the life you're living, that helps them to understand the status and significance of God and serving God. So if your life does not reflect a godly lifestyle, or if it does not reflect a true love for God, understand that kids are not people that you can fake it till you make it in front of. Kids are very authentic, and they can discern what's real and what's fake. So they live in the house with you. They see who you really are. See, at church, you can put on a mask. In front of me, you can put on a mask. On the job, you can play charades. And everywhere else you go, you know, you can put on that mask or that facade of being Mr. or Miss Holy. But your children are in the house with you. 24/7, 365, they see how you live. They hear what you say. They see and observe what you watch. They see whom you bring into your home. They see if you're at church telling Sister Sally you love her in Christ, but then all the way home from church, you're talking about her clothing, the fact that maybe she doesn't have money to buy nice clothes, or you're calling her a slut. They hear all of this. They're watching you. And they are comparing the life you live to the life you tell people you live about and the amount of love you profess you have for this man, Jesus. You live the life. In Joshua 24:15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You are going to have to make a determination as to whether or not you want to serve God. And once you make that determination, you're going to have to put all your might into it every day. And where you're weak, you must subject yourself unto Christ to strengthen you, because your kids are in the midst of a godless society. They're in a war for their minds everywhere they go. And they're looking at you to see how you overcome. How do you overcome, Mom? How do you overcome, Dad? Because the world they're growing up in is nothing like the world we grew up in. You see, when we grew up, cell phones didn't exist. So really, the only exposure you got to sin and, you know, the ratchetness and immorality would be what you saw at home, whom you knew in your neighborhood, what you saw on television. And for some of you, you know, at midnight, all the television stations went off and the Star Spangled Banner came on. And then for others, your parents were able to monitor what you were watching. You didn't have the internet growing up. So none of this stuff where everything was constantly available to them and accessible outside of the scope of your watchful eyes was available. But everywhere they go now, it's everywhere they go. They take it with them because almost every kid has a cell phone now. And if they don't have a cell phone, their friends have a cell phone. And if you took their cell phone, it's okay because the friend at school will lend them their cell phone. They have access to the internet. And even when we were growing up where things such as nudity, you know, Playboy and all of these things you couldn't see, pornography is all over the internet. Nudity is all over the internet. They don't need subscriptions for it. They don't need your credit card for it. It's all over. Suicide is all over. Drug use is all over. Violence is all over. Mass school shootings, it's all over the place. Everything is all over. The pressure on them. And then when they leave school, they can't walk away from it. The kids are still bullying them on social media, Instagram and Snapchat and Facebook and all of these things. So they're looking at you because you said that serving God was important. You said that serving the Lord will pay off. You taught them, hallelujah, that Jesus, through Jesus, they are more than conquerors. So if he's all of that, why don't you want to serve him, mama? Why won't you serve him, mother? Why you in and out, dad? So number one, you live the life that you sing about, that you talk about. Number two, train up your children in the way they should go. And listen at this last part before I read that particular Bible verse that I'm going to tell you. And enforce it even if you don't live it. Isn't that good? Train up your children in the way they should go and enforce it even if you don't live it. So if you're not living that life from step one, that does not preclude you from raising your kids right. Isn't that empowering? Because so many times people may say, well, how can you tell me not to do it and you doing it? Well, when I was growing up, my mother's response would have been, because I said so. Because I told you to do it. Because I'm grown and you the child. Because I'm the mom and you the kid. You know, that's really all you got to say. Just because I'm doing wrong, son or daughter, doesn't mean that I want you to go down the same path that I'm going down, because as a parent, I want you to do better than me. I want you to have a better life than me. Isn't that what we want for our children, right? So, for example, let's say that you are addicted to drugs. Well, are you going to not tell your kids to stay away from drugs because you're on drugs? Or because you were addicted to drugs? Of course not. You're going to say, that's what I did, but you don't have to do it. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, many people don't understand this verse. They take it to mean that when I train up my child in the word of God, that child will always live the saved life. No, the knowledge won't depart from him or her. They may go astray. They may backslide. They may totally turn their backs on the Lord and even go to a different religion. But the seeds you have sown of the knowledge of Christ will never depart from them. And sooner or later, you see them coming back. And what's crazy is even when they're out in sin, they'll tell somebody else, oh, no, 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 you playing with God. I don't play with God. Or they'll tell you quickly, I know what's right and wrong. I might not be living it, but I was raised in church. Anybody ever heard that? Have you ever said it? I might not be living right, but I was raised in church. I know who God is. So even if you're not doing right, that doesn't take away your authority under the word of God or even legally to ensure that your children do what's right. They are in a godless society. It is up to you to make sure that they are rooted and grounded in the word of the Lord. It's not the school's job to train them in religion. It's not the principal's job, nor the job of the tutors or those people who work in the community service organizations. It's nobody's job to ensure that they know who God is and what God requires but yours. And you ought to be happy about that. Because in today's godly society, think about what they would be taught if it was left up to the schools to teach them about who God is, to teach them about living right, to teach them about holiness and having covenant relationship with Christ. So you got to train them up in the way they should go. Well, how do you do that? You got to make sure that they see the Word of God, but that they also go to church so that they can be trained in the Word of God. If your church offers some kind of Sunday school, even if you don't go to Sunday school, send your kids to Sunday school. Because a lot of times the churches don't have separate children's church for kids, so the sermon and the words may go over their heads, especially if they're younger kids. But when they're in Sunday school, the lessons are broken down based on their ages. So for each age, even though the entire Sunday school is studying the same topic, it's age appropriate. And your kids can learn. And that's also a time where they can ask questions. Send them to Sunday school. Send them to church. Take them if you can. But if you're not even at that level, remember, I'm on step two. You send them. You take them. You train them upright. And then you pray with them. Before your kids leave home every day, pray with them. Ask God to cover them and protect them. Whether the prayer is in the car, whether it's in the house, pray with them. And at night, pray with them. When you eat food, pray with them. Teach them to acknowledge God in all things, even in their talents. Some of your children are very good in sports, or they're very good in, public speaking or drawing. Whatever their talents are from God, teach them that this came from God. It is for His use. The platform that He's going to give you is so that His name can be glorified. Always acknowledge Him. Don't become so proud that you begin to think that what you're doing is of your own volition. No, it came from God. Train them up and enforce it even if you don't live it. Isn't this good teaching? Step number three. Stand consistently strong in your faith, even when it's unpopular. I said stand consistently strong in your faith, even when it is unpopular. In today's society, it's not popular to tell people you're a Christian. And because it's unpopular and some people are really focused on, wanting to be popular, wanting to have a certain number of followers or likes or shares on social media, they will get off track or they will settle for less or dumb themselves down because they don't want to be unpopular. But you can't be focused on that. You must be steadfast in these last days. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, you got to be steadfast. You must be able to stand strong, to look the world in the eye and say, for God I live, and for God I die. I am not ashamed of the gospel, and I am unmovable in that fact. I'm working for God, and I'm teaching my children to work for God, knowing that our labor is not in vain. In due season, we will reap a great reward if we faint not. If we stay focused on the Lord, if we prioritize God, God will prioritize us. And in him, we are more than conquerors. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. So I'm going to stand consistently strong in my faith. And this is what you are teaching your children. Whether or not you become popular, son or daughter, is not the issue. That's not what's most important. But what is important is whether or not I have fortified you to be able to stand strong in the face of opposition, to know that you believe in God, to understand that we are a God-believing family, that we are saved, that Jesus is our Savior, and come hell or high water, that consistency never changes. So if everyone else in your school stops believing, you will still believe. If all of your friends stop believing in Christ, you will still believe that he is the Savior. If they tell you that you're stupid, if they tell you that you're crazy for believing in a fairy tale, you will not be tossed to and fro by that, but you will stand strong and firm. Firmly planted and rooted like a tree planted by the rivers of water. No matter what happens, you are grounded in your faith in Christ. That's important because in these last days, they will encounter so many naysayers, so many detractors, and so many objectors. They must know for themselves that God is real. Hallelujah. Number four. Teach them to become God pleasers and not man pleasers. The book of Galatians chapter 1 verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. It is always more important to please God rather than men. So you have to instill that into your children, that the core of them is a God pleaser. They're about that Christ life. This is who you are. And that's important because you will have to help them distinguish who they are from what they do and what they want. Many times as an attorney, I encounter people wanting to, you know, bring me into cases or things that are against who I am. A prime example would be someone who wanted to see if they could involve me in the marijuana representation here in Florida. And the person didn't know me well, but the person knows that, you know, I do well as an attorney, that I have a lot of integrity, that people follow what I say, that I'm a good orator. So the person believed bringing me on would help and that it would also benefit me financially, you know, to try to make recreational marijuana legal here as that fight was going on. And so I had to say no. Because that's against everything I stand for, who I am. Now, as an attorney, I could do it. But as a Christian, I can't. And because the Christian is who I am, whereas the attorney is only what I do, I knew that pleasing God was more important than pleasing men. This is what you must instill in your children. Because society will offer them all kinds of enticing rewards and awards for being immoral, for doing illegal things, for doing unethical things and putting themselves in awkward positions. Society will offer fame. It will offer fortune. You know, it will offer popularity. But they got to know that it is more important to please God rather than men. And finally, number five, you must support your children because this is a fight and a journey that they cannot win alone. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Your kids need you. They need to know that you got their back. That when they've done everything you told them to do, that when they've stood strong like you told them to stand, that when they followed God and they've sought to please God more than men, that when they followed the way you've trained them and they're living it even if you're not living it, that when all comes against them, they have a safe haven in you. They can tell you about the situation, and you won't judge them, but rather will love them and support them and stand strong, even in rebuking them, even in chastising them. You will rebuke the issue without killing their spirits. You will defeat whatever the enemy has brought into their lives without defeating who your kids are as persons or people. There is a difference. You see, if your kid comes to you and tells you, "I'm gay," you already know that the homosexuality is not of God. But the way that you talk to this kid about it will make the difference as to how he or she feels, not just about the sin, but about him or herself personally when the kid leaves your presence. And that's important, because how the kid feels about him or herself when they leave your presence determines whether or not they want to keep on this road, whether or not they want to stay on this journey, and sometimes whether or not they will decide to take their own lives. You got to learn how to rebuke the sin while still salvaging the soul. Defeat the issue while still uplifting the spirit. Come in and stomp out the devil while still highlighting and glorifying the Christ in them. Support. Support is important. No man or woman is an island. We all want to hear someone commend us at some point for something good we've done, or somebody to say something good about us, or help validate our worth. If we as adults need that, how much so more do children need it? Home is supposed to be the safe place. I will tell you, I even had to learn that when my son was growing up. So I told him, "Look, you can always come to me. I'm not going to promise you that I won't be upset about what you have done. And I'm not going to promise you that I won't discipline you. Discipline may be the appropriate remedy. But what I will promise you is that I can always help you better on the front end than I ever can on the back end. The back end is full of, you know, graves and jails. They're full of people who waited until they got to the back end of the situation. And the other thing I can promise you is that no matter what you tell me, I will never stop loving you. You are always mommy's only son." This is how you must support your children to help them live godly in a godly society. Give them a safe place to know that they can always count on you. Now, the devil desires to sift them as wheat, but Jesus has come that they may have life. And the devil desires to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus has come that they may have life more abundantly. So no matter what's going on in the world around them, Jesus offers victory. Jesus offers salvation. And Jesus offers the safe haven of an unconditional, everlasting agape love. raising godly children in a godless society. We're going to get ready to go into prayer. Hallelujah. If there's anyone who has a prayer request, please type it in or please press 1 on your phone and I'll take your prayer request as we prepare to go before the Lord for our children tonight. But I want you to remember, even as we pray, that there's nothing impossible for God. Wherever your children are right now, in whatever situation they're in, remember that God still answers prayer. God still hears and God still heals them. God can still bring them back to where they're supposed to be. And you stand strong in that proclamation and don't give up on them, but stand strong as a believer. Let's get ready to go into prayer. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. As I'm praying, just call your children out by name. Glory, call your grandchildren out by name. The lines are muted. No one can hear you. The kids for whom you need to stand in the gap, just call them out by name. Father, we come tonight in the name of Jesus, lifting up the children. Father, we understand that we're living in the last days when perilous times are upon us. When men and women are truth breakers and who have no appreciation and no reverence for you. Who don't want you in our homes or schools. Who don't even want you in our churches anymore. Who want a popular God but not a holy God. Who wants a fair God but not a righteous God. Who wants a loving God, but not a God who chastises, reprimands? Who wants a God who provides, but not a God who takes away? Father, tonight we come lifting up our children. Day by day, they're living, Father, in this world. And sometimes we cannot be where they are at every moment of the day. But God, we know that you can be in every place at every time, at any time. God, you are everywhere. You are omniscient, God. You are omnipotent, all-powerful. You are all-knowing and you are God, our provider. Lord, we ask you tonight to encourage the children. Protect the children. Cover them in the blood of Jesus and place a hedge about them. Father, just go before them and prepare the way in Christ. And Lord, we ask that you would touch every adult listening, Father, to live the life themselves, to train up the children in the way that they should go and enforce that even if they're not living it. To stand consistently strong in the faith, even in the midst of unpopularity. To teach the children to be God pleasers instead of man pleasers. And to support their children by addressing the sin but not killing the spirit. God, through you, all these things are possible. So we praise you for the glory and victory. We praise you, God, because victory belongs to you. Victory belongs to you. Our children belong to you. They will succeed and not fail. They will be the head and not the tail. They will have victory. They will make it. And we glorify you for it in advance. In the name of Jesus, we say thank you. Oh, hallelujah, we say thank you. Wherever you are, just begin to thank him tonight. We say thank you, God. We praise you. Our souls magnify you, Lord. We say thank you. Hallelujah. We glorify you, Lord. And we count it done. Just wherever you are, say, I count it done. My children shall make it. Say it again. Speak it into the atmosphere. I count it done. My children shall make it. In the name of Jesus, we glorify you, Lord, and we say amen. Let me give the altar call, and then we're going to end. Keep on praising God for the victory. For those of you who are unsaved or who are backslidden, please repeat after me. Father, I come in Jesus' name. I repent and ask forgiveness of my sin. I ask you to come into my life now and be my Savior. Now, Lord, I confess that I am saved. Now, Lord, I confess that I am rededicated to you. Now, Lord, I confess that I will raise godly children in this godless society. Amen, and welcome to the family of Christ. Make sure you're going to church, to Sunday school, Bible study. Make sure you tune in with me for Daily Fire, Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern, and Real Talk, Grown Folks Bible Study, Wednesdays at 7. And look, invite other people. Some people don't go to church at all. And so Daily Fire and Real Talk, this is the only church they have. So invite them to tune in. Every Wednesday night at 7 p.m., you can just tell them to go to rossi.org and they can call in or tune in online from the broadcast page. All right, trouble has been in your way, but tonight victory has come into our household. Remember, go online to rossi.org to make your donations to help spread the gospel. You can learn more about me there as well as send me your prayer requests and testimonies. Tonight, we've broken chains. Jesus has fixed it. I'll see you in the morning.
If you've ever had a little trouble in your life, I don't know whether you've had any trouble in your life, but there's a little song that says, a little old song we decided to do. The words say, trouble in my way, I have to cry sometimes. Huh? And the song goes on to say, I laid awake at night, but that's all right. Why? Jesus will fix it. Jesus will fix it. Oh,
in my way. I had to cry sometimes.